Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. Today we have with us from the Jefferson County Food Bank Association, Shirley Moss and Randy Rosens. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Shirley Moss is the manager of the food bank, and we happen to be located right next door to the food bank. And it's really been something I've been wanting to have on the air. I've been very intrigued by the numbers of folks and the trucks and the deliveries, and I'm so excited to learn a little bit more about the critical need that you serve in this community. So Shirley, could you tell me, I understand that this food bank has a broader range that it serves other than just Port Townsend.
Well, there are four food banks in the county, and we each, Brennan, Quilicine, Tri-Area, and Port Townsend, they serve the people of their immediate community. But a lot of people are transient, and if anybody walks through the door, we'll give them food.
Well, I understand that this particular food bank is one of the largest food banks in terms of, is that in range of service, or it's an overarching umbrella in terms of its services?
What it is that we serve the most people of the four food banks in the county. So we serve, generally in a month, we'll serve 350 families. Last week, we have a Senior Saturday and a Wednesday food bank. And last week, we did 111 senior families. This is going to be taped for later on, but for Thanksgiving, we'll do closer to 450 families. That'll be our biggest day of the year.
Oh, my goodness. And is this an uptick? Is this an average number? Not in particular to your Thanksgiving day, but your families and your seniors that you're serving?
When I started back about 1997, we were serving about 140 families. And so it keeps slowly rising. Mm. It never goes down. It'll stay somewhat stable, but then it continues to rise. I think when people come through the door for the first time, because the first time is the hardest. There's feelings. Okay, I don't know what the feelings are. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine that there's feelings of, I never thought I'd be using a food bank.
Right.
They come through the door. They find friendly, wonderful volunteers and an arrangement of quality foods that are very healthy. And all of a sudden, they have a little extra money in their pocket they didn't have before because they don't have to buy food. So after the first time, I think it's easier for them to come to the food bank because that scary factor is out of the equation.
Yes, indeed.
And then they tell their friends who they know are in need, who are barely scraping by, and get them to come in with them. So I think it's a slow building, and I like that. I like that people are using us instead of saying, you know, no, that's not who I am. I'd rather starve than use a food bank.
Well, it's a real tangible, critical thing that we can all relate to, hunger. And you not only take donations for food, but you take hygiene products, and you also do provide a limited clothing bank. And I think you've got some really interesting formats I think our listeners would like to learn more about, like a power pickup for people who are the working poor, if you will.
So the more you do, the more you realize that you need to do. You see what the needs are. Mm-hmm. And where we started off as a food bank, the Working Image is down the hall from us, so they would start to give us clothing that they had as an overflow. So we started putting clothing out every week for people that they can just take whatever they need. And then people will walk in the door with clothing. When there are book sales, we get like 20 banana boxes full of books from the library sales. So we always have free books in the hallway for people to take. And there's no limit. Long as they take them home to read it, we love it. We also have an area that is called the Quick Pick, and in there is an area that serves pretty much people that are camping, people who are using the shelter and people who might not be using the shelter but are still outside. And in that area, the Elks have worked well with us to buy tarps and toilet paper, and there's lots of bottled water and socks and rubber boots and all sorts of things that people who are outside need. And the woman, Pamela, who's taken over that area, has gotten very good at listening to the homeless people of what they need. Headlamps, how important the headlamp mm-hmm. is when you're outside. And I didn't realize how important tarps were. One wonderful woman, I gave her a tour of the food bank, and she ended up on her own coming back with a $200 check to buy just tarps. And so that's going to change some people's lives. So we have the kind of what we call the homeless area. We are also the only food bank that served just seniors on a day to separate them out, to have it a little more gentle experience for them. No. Anything else that you can think of, Randy, that we do?
No, it's a very comprehensive environment.
Well, one of the items you mentioned was a food rescue program, or is it a format through which you obtain your goods? And, you know, Randy, you're involved in food rescue on the delivery and pickup day, or is that food rescue a category of food?
It's week long. I mean, mm-hmm. it's identifying where there is surplus food in the world, of which there is much these days. Mm-hmm. About 40% of food that's produced in the country all over ends up in the waste stream.
And so, are you working with people who glean, or are you talking to
yes.
Safeway?
Yes.
Yes.
Safeway, QFC, the co-op. We go to the co-op 7 days a week. Food that is perfectly good, perfectly healthy. It's just more than they need for whatever reason. There are several restaurants in town that save and freeze items that they have left over. Courtyard Cafe, Lahani's. So anywhere that there's food that is surplus to someone's mm-hmm. initial need, mm-hmm. it can be diverted and we can rescue it and give it a new home.
I see. Now I understand what food rescue is. So what is the primary role that you serve, Randy, at the food bank?
Whatever Shirley wants me to do.
Now that's a volunteer, Shirley.
He said months ago what he wanted to do was make my life easier. And that's exactly what he has done.
Well, that really speaks to a nimble, flexible, some folks a desire to be engaged with community and volunteer, but they really have this kind of box that works best for them. It sounds like you might even thrive with the creativity or the flexibility of the role. Is that
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. I mean, and everyone can be doing something. I think that's a barrier that doesn't need to exist in the volunteer world. And people see a food bank, they have no idea what the needs are. You know, I've never been involved in food service. I don't really have a lot of time. But there's a niche for everyone, and it's a matter of our goal and responsibility is to convey to someone who wants to get involved where they can fit in. It's the first thing mm-hmm. I say to people. Well, I'm interested in the food bank, but I have no idea what to do. I say, okay, well, let's first have a conversation about you and who you are and what do you enjoy and what's your life like? You know, do you
That's
work
fantastic.
Full-time? Do you work part-time? Do you have kids that you take care of? Do you live nearby? Do you like to drive? Do you not want to drive? And, you know, let's find out who you are, and then we'll tell you about who we are, and let's find that intersection between need and availability.
That truly creates a successful volunteer opportunity. I used to train volunteers and train staff to recruit volunteers, and I used to say, you know, there are seasons of life that are better suited for certain roles. And there was one example when we were trying to think about the importance of a volunteer, I would say, you know, think about a chocolate chip cookie. There's flour, there's sugar, there's chocolate chips, there's salt and seasoning. And, you know, have you ever had a chocolate chip cookie without the salt? Without that tiny granular thing that we don't even notice, we really notice when it's missing. So that salt is as important as those bossy out of the, you know, right there evident chocolate chips in our chocolate chip cookies.
And it can change. You know,
right.
Someone can come in and at a certain point in time, this is what fits them and these are what our needs are. And that can change throughout time. It can be a very fluid experience.
So if someone's, you know, listening and wanting to engage, so is Randy the person they would be speaking to? Or how does the process engagement begin for a volunteer, Shirley?
Generally, I'll invite somebody in to do setup in the morning, and we'll just see how they like it. Or if they are not a morning person, might ask them to come in and help clean at the end of the day. I've got 109 volunteers.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm not chomping at the bit for more volunteers, but I really enjoy when people come in for a tour of the food bank mm-hmm. because then they go and they tell somebody who tells somebody else.
And it's not just about the volunteers. Ways that people can contribute are perhaps, you told me an astounding statistic, 3 cents a pound. So for your dollar that's donated to the food bank, if I understand correctly, 3 cents gets us what in the Jefferson County area?
So from Food Lifeline, which is over in Seattle, I order every Friday, and it's a variety of food. It changes every single week. So today we brought in 20 cases of 20 pounds each of mixed vegetables and fruit, another 6 that were 30 pounds, Theo's organic chocolate for the holidays, milk, bread. Oh boy, there was so much. It was 6,005 pounds of food today, which is a big order than normal because we're going to have a big day tomorrow being Thanksgiving.
So every Friday you order, and here on a Wednesday you have a delivery, or a Tuesday you do your allocation and division and receiving.
So when the truck comes over from Seattle, that includes the shipping of it over here at that 3 cents a pound. They drop it off about 7 o'clock in the morning every Tuesday. Then the 4 food banks in the county all come in, and Randy helps me, along with 2 other volunteers, separate it all out. The food banks come in, they take it, and they take it back to their food banks, and then the next day we hand out the food.
So you serve as a hub of distribution in addition to the individual distributions that you do.
The building, the hub, mm-hmm. serves as that, which mm-hmm. is owned by OliCap. And they pay for the warehouse at the hub, which is out on Auto Street. And they pay for the driver and the truck. And then the individual food banks all have their own vehicles, personal vehicles, that they haul the food in.
I see. And you have local contributors also, our local businesses. Randy, you mentioned the food rescue, but out of the goodness and wealth of these companies, you've got a couple of folks you've mentioned to me earlier when we were visiting that are donating for the holiday season turkeys. And
so a couple of things that are happening huge is Arrow Lumber. For 10 years now, they've given us turkeys, and they just dropped off yesterday 375 turkeys for the Thanksgiving give out. And then a client actually got in contact with Dairy Gold. And in 1 hour, one of my volunteers is over in Seattle picking up 450 pounds of butter being donated by Dairy Gold Butter, which that's a first. And I just was blown over that they didn't seem to even blink at us asking. At the end of this interview, I'll be going out to Mount Townsend Creamery and picking up butter that they have for us just to donate. So Elevated Ice Cream, the candy shop there, they call me up and say, can you come on out and pick up some stuff?
Wow.
There's so many businesses that think of us and will...
You mentioned earlier, you've got all these businesses. You mentioned earlier that there's a 7 a.m. delivery. So, Randy, that means an early start for you.
Yes.
And not to say that every volunteer has to do that, but how do you manage to show up like that? And how long is your day?
It's very inspiring. I mean, this is my purpose. Mm-hmm. This is what I like to do, and it feeds me spiritually as much as it feeds people with food.
How did you come to be involved with a food bank?
When I moved here, I've been here, my wife and I have been here 7 years, and we came from Austin, mm-hmm. and where I was involved with food rescue and food redistribution there. So when I came here, it was a natural thing that I wanted to get involved with.
Was it part of your work history? Is this something, were you in the food industry, or you have a passion?
I was, but mm-hmm. I don't know that they were directly connected. I just in general don't like waste.
Yes.
I mean, nobody likes, no one would say, oh yeah, wow, I love waste.
No.
But,
no.
For me, it's almost, a pathological obsession, whether it's time or money or food or gas or whatever it might be. So to be able to repurpose things, it's just what I do in my own life. So to be able to do something on a larger scale.
It's a moral compass for you.
It was just a natural fit.
That's fantastic. And then I understand you volunteer in other organizations as well. So you've got this emergent critical need you're targeting. But tell me a little bit more about your...
I'm also involved with adults with developmental disabilities. In fact, that was how I ended up coming to Port Townsend, was to get involved with a group called Olympic Neighbors, where we recently opened up a home in town To house six adults with developmental disabilities, to not only engage them with each other, several of their six residents have never lived outside their parents' house for the This is the first time. And not only does it give them independence and camaraderie with their peers, but it gives them more opportunities to engage with the community at large. And I think one of the things that makes me the happiest is that these two worlds have now merged. Yes. We have the five residents from Hamilton House are now volunteering at the food bank. And it's a good example of how do you find out where that fit is, because these folks wanted to be involved. They had, you know, we found out what their time availability was. And on food bank days, there's a lot of commotion, a lot of people running around. And these particular volunteers, it was an uncomfortable environment for them with it.
They needed
with
a special,
chaos.
Yeah.
So we picked another day of when can you come in? What are the jobs that you could do? And we didn't want it to be just, you know, kind of token busy work. And part of it, last year, Shirley went out of town for a wonderful extended time. And I got to see a lot of the things that she, as a one-person show, did that other people could easily do. And then we just started plugging people in. We have one resident in Hamilton House, Jesse, who comes in once a week. He picks up all of our towels that we've used to wipe counters, clean floors, whatever, you know, you use towels for. And he takes them home, washes them, folds them, brings them back the next week. And that's his job.
Everybody needs a purpose. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is enriching to hear. Mm-hmm. Sounds like we need to do a show about this. I am so touched by the idea that it has to take a little extra effort to find the fit, to take the time, to get to know the volunteer. But it's a win-win, isn't it, Shirley? When you really try to tap into what moves that volunteer to engage. Randy, what a special time to be able to speak with you today. We have a few more moments left to this program, and I always want to make sure we spend some time looking at what's in the pipeline. And if there's a more urgent need, we've talked about you've got a robust volunteer program, you've got lots of food. Is there a season where there's more need that we want to put on the calendar, or how could we be speaking to our listeners today at Everybody Can to engage with the food bank?
Well, I heard what you just asked, but I'm going to say something else because I realized that I did a faux pas. There's three other businesses that have been wonderful to us that I really want to mention.
Oh, sure.
Pondemore donates a few times a week.
The bread of life.
They're great. And Metro Bagel takes their time to come in, bring us their bagels throughout the week, the ones that they can't sell at the end of the day. And also the Vietnamese restaurant. He has just been fabulous to the food bank. And it would be really wrong for me not to mention those.
Well, I'm glad you took a moment. And listeners, please visit those businesses that support folks that are in such a need. And as for the food bank, anything we want to bring to our listeners' attention, if there is a way for them, ideally we'd want to help them know how they could get connected if they're moved by this program to participate in the food bank needs.
Well, my phone number for the food bank is 360-531-0275. I have the phone with me most of the time, and anybody can call. And if they have a question about somebody is moving and what will we take, I'm happy to fill them in on any items that we can use. We also have something called a spin to win when somebody's going out of the food bank, that's non-food items, small things, shampoos, conditioners, things like that. So we take a lot of things, and somebody can just give me a call, and I'll be happy to share that information.
Well, I do hope if you're listening today to take a moment, reflect on what's great in your life and the gifts that you have, and to consider spending some of that with the Jefferson County Food Bank Association. And you would have the privilege of perhaps meeting Randy Rosens.
Thank you.
Or Shirley Moss. I wish this program was longer, and I thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Everybody Can is a production of KPDZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our sound and editing today is in the expert hands of Jared Dufresne, one of our many dedicated volunteers at KPTZ. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. So now, go out, get involved, and make it a great day.